Part 1. Prologue, September 11th, 2001, 8:46 a.m. World Trade Center, South Tower, 99th floor. McIntosh Hollinger heard a faint rumble. As he set his comb on the edge of the sink, he noticed a small vase of pink carnations wobbling on the marble vanity. When had New York City last been hit by an earthquake? He tried to recall as he checked his short gray hair in the mirror and adjusted the lapel of the blue suit his wife had given him that morning for his 84th birthday. It wasn't worth the $4,000 Sonia had probably spent on it, but he did look sharp. When he glanced again, the vase was still. It was probably nothing. Winking at himself, he walked out of his executive bathroom into his sprawling office. On the east wall were photos of Hollinger with Elvis Presley, Muhammad Ali, and Presidents Reagan and Clinton. A large gold frame held a photo of Lou Gehrig smiling in front of the dugout at Yankee Stadium. Hollinger, who was short but spry for his age, walked briskly across Persian carpets toward the floor-to-ceiling windows that faced west across the Hudson. The morning was bright and clear, and he squinted at the horizon, trying to glimpse the conical spire of his New Jersey estate. He hoped Sonia would get soup for the party, but of course she had. She knew how much he loved soup. Lobster bisque, or maybe crab. A stream of black smoke drifted toward the window. Hollinger lurched back, spun around and scanned the three flat-screen TVs on the wall. On WNYW, a wobbly shot showed the top of the North Tower, partially obscured by leaves. He grabbed a remote and unmuted the TV. A male reporter's voice filled the room. Just a few moments ago, something believed to be a plane crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. I just saw flames inside. You can see the smoke coming out of the tower. We have no idea what it was. He switched to CNN, a live shot of the smoking tower, and read the headline at the bottom of the screen, World Trade Center Disaster. His body tensed. His feet felt strange, leaden. Sheets of smoke clouded the windows. A pang of terror shot through his head. He was going to die. This struck him as a bodily certainty, and his first thought was that he had to tell someone about the money. He walked to the phone and picked up the receiver, but paused before dialing. Smoke billowed past his windows. He heard Sonia's voice in his head, warm and grating at the same time. Vamos! His eyes darted around the office and landed on the photo of Lou Gehrig. He dropped the phone and scrambled across the room. Up on his tiptoes, Hollinger yanked the photo off the wall and tucked it under his left arm, then jogged into the lobby of his firm. Suzanne! He tried to yell, but the sound caught in his throat. His secretary wasn't there. The two other offices in his suite were empty. He passed a marble placard that read Hollinger Quantitative Investing and followed the hallway to stairwell B. He peered down and counted the stairs between him and the landing. 19 stairs per floor. 99 floors. 1,881 stairs. He wouldn't make it. Sonia, if she were there, she'd tell him what to do. He stepped back toward the hallway, but again Sonia's voice cut through the fog of his indecision. Vamos! He blinked twice and stepped down. 10 minutes later, he stood on the landing of the 80th floor, sweating and shaking. He leaned the photo against the wall and cupped his palms over his knees. People rushed past as images flooded his mind. Smoke pressing on windows. A sea of blue seats at Yankee Stadium. Sonia's blonde hair, dark at the roots. He heard an explosion above him and froze in terror as the building shook. Within seconds, he smelled what he thought was kerosene. Smoke drifted down the stairwell toward him. A woman bumped into him on her way past. "We got hit too," she shrieked into a cell phone. He heard crackling a flight up, then screaming. He looked at the photo leaning against the wall and smiled back at Lou Gehrig, then continued down the stairs without it. His knees buckled with each step and he gagged on the sour smoke that followed him down. He saw his wife's athletic legs walking on hot sand, her smooth skin the color of milky coffee. Vamos! At the 40th floor, people packed the stairwell. Most were quiet, but some yelled into cell phones pressed to their ears. A young man asked, "What happened?" to no one in particular. Hollinger heard sirens and men shouting from below. He fought to keep up with the crowd, but his lungs burned and his legs had gone numb. At 9:25 a.m., he stumbled into the crisp morning air. A small piece of steel struck his shoulder as firefighters rushed past him into the tower.